Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 662 for January 21st, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by and with, let's start with Jocelyn, because we're going to surprise you with somebody else. Hi, Jocelyn. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Scott?
I'm really good. It's so fun to pretend that we didn't just already do these greetings in the last little bonus show for our patrons. But whatever. We like to do what we do on podcasts for a reason. And note today, I didn't say welcome back to The Instance because our the other person here doesn't like when that happens. And I didn't want to do it in front of him. So welcome Patrick Beja back to a show he technically never left. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, so you can say welcome back to The Instance. What I dislike is when people say welcome back to this new episode. Because you're not coming back to a new episode. And when we were doing Overwatchers, Garrett used to do that. And I pestered him so much about it that he stopped on all of his shows. Like, I'm inside his brain, and he can hear me saying it every time he wants to say it, so he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've actually fixed him in that regard, I think. You did your job. Nice job.
Fixed? Yeah. Well, I changed him. I don't know if that's, you know. But thank you so much for having me on this show. It feels like I don't speak to the English part of my community anymore. Mm-hmm. I've stopped a bunch of stuff and I haven't been on this show for a while. You know, children, they're awesome. Have many, like everyone should have 15 children. No downside.
You know?
But yeah, no, I'm very thankful that I'm here for this episode, especially. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like I say, technically, you're a permanent member and are welcome here anytime you want to be here. But I'm glad it's this time in particular because, boy, howdy, do we have some stuff to talk about. And everyone, I know there are going to be some people who are a little bit like tired of the topic already because you've been consuming tons of, peripheral content dealing with this acquisition. And we should say this potential acquisition. It's not, you know, there's no dry ink yet or any of that. But if there was ever a place to talk about it with two people I want to talk to it about, it's here. And Garrett's not here this week. It's his birthday. Everybody go online, go to Garrett Art on Twitter and wish him a happy birthday. He's away with his wife
on Tuesday.
My birthday present to him is that I'm replacing him on the show for an episode. You're welcome, Garrett.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. Nice job. But yeah, his birthday's Tuesday, is it?
It's Tuesday, yeah.
Okay.
25th.
So go and pretend like you think it's today and overwhelm his Twitter account, is what I'm saying. Let's give him all kinds of shit for not being here. No, that's not true. He's very sad that he couldn't be here for this discussion. I'm sure we'll get his hot takes next week, so don't worry too much. Let's dive right in. All right, at the risk of being very redundant from our Core discussion yesterday on the podcast Core with John and Bo, we're going to talk about the self-same major issue, but we're going to maybe get into some details we didn't do there as they apply to The Instance and how long we've been around and what we used to cover and all that sort of stuff. So here's the main takeaway. Microsoft bought Activision, or is trying to buy Activision Blizzard King, for $68.7 billion. The reason they won't ever say 69 is because they think
it's
that's
too nice.
Dirty. Nice. here are the essentials of that deal if it goes through. Yes, go ahead.
On that point, everyone's rounding up to 70. Yeah. Like, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a full billion more.
Like, when you say 70, that's what I was
like,
saying.
Yeah, roughly, you know, equivalent. It's $1 billion more.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how much money that is.
I made a point on the show yesterday. It would be like, no, if you and I were like, all right, hey Patrick, here's $6.70, and you said, oh yeah, Scott gave me close to $70 or $7 rather. That would be fine. That's a fine roundup. Who cares? No big deal. walk away from it, not a problem. But when you're talking millions, or in this case, billions, what are you doing? Like, $1 billion difference is a ginormous amount of money, and I don't
know
why.
Not to them, though. To them, it is $6.70.
Yeah. If they went.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. It's about half of the amount of money that Microsoft has cash on hand this year. But they also make like between $70 and $120 billion every year in profit.
Yeah.
So. You know, it's not.
They have the money to play with.
Oh, yeah. They're buying the revenue, and that, you know, we'll get into all that. This is going to be done, by the way.
I wonder how they get to 68.7. Is there a discussion there where they're like, yeah, we'd like 69, and they're like, 69? Are you crazy? All right, 68.7. All right, yeah. Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Much more reasonable.
A little worried about Bobby Kotick liking that number a little too much, maybe? No, I shouldn't.
Yeah, maybe they thought we can't. It doesn't work. They had all the contracts, finalized and everything, and some PR person were like, 69?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? Are you serious with this?
Yeah.
No.
The Blizzard PR really kicked in there. Let's see. The transaction, when it closes, this will make Microsoft the world's third largest gaming company by revenue. So that's behind Tencent, who is at number one. And if you want to talk about a company that acquires everybody, look no further than Tencent. And Sony in second. This puts Microsoft in third by revenue. That doesn't mean market cap. That doesn't mean a lot of things. Technically, the 2021 market cap value of Sony was $95 billion total. The PlayStation division, $45 billion, which is less than $68.7 billion. So you can really get your head in a weird twist if you try to make sense of why certain things are worth what they're worth and when they're worth it. It's big and complicated and gnarly and messy. But that's the big three now. And that pushed Sony, or that pushed Microsoft way up in the line in terms of total revenue. And that's, you know, assuming that everything stayed the same kind of revenue. Like, what's the revenue they do now with all their gaming divisions, and what does Activision Blizzard King do in terms of revenue? Assuming that all holds steady and would only grow, they're number three. And they're obviously gunning for owning everything at some point. Anyway, the planned acquisition includes iconic franchises from Activision Blizzard King. So you're talking things like Warcraft, Call of Duty, Diablo, all things Diablo, including the upcoming 4, Overwatch 1, and the upcoming 2. The rest of the Blizzard lineup, Candy Crush. We should pause here for a second because, again, and this came up last night, everybody wants to discount that part of the deal. It may be the most important part of the deal. And I know that makes core gamers like us cringe, but I am telling you, Candy Crush makes more money by itself than any other property by itself. It's enormous amounts of money. And by that, I mean it's the most profitable as well. So Microsoft, who's had a hard time getting into mobile in general, this is a huge get for them because they're immediately into a revenue model on mobile that just, you know, that they just had to pay for. And it's huge.
It's even more than just Candy Crush. Obviously, the mobile aspect of this is much more important. I don't think people, you know, discount it or cringe. It's just that people don't think about it in our circles.
Yeah.
But certainly, Candy Crush is really big. You also have Call of Duty Mobile, which is really big.
Yeah.
And obviously, Hearthstone is hybrid.
I was going to say, are we going to mention Hearthstone? Because Hearthstone, man, it has been so forgotten in this whole entire conversation. It feels like even the graphic that they showed for the acquisition had StarCraft on it instead of Hearthstone. And it's like, Hearthstone's like making Blizzard the most money right now. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones putting out new content. Like, WTF!
Yeah, that was a little weird, I thought, especially given that it does have a mobile aspect to it.
And it has a mobile, exactly.
Yeah, I was a little surprised
by
that.
But there's also, you know, Diablo Immortal, if that ever comes out. Yeah. And they've mentioned a few times that every franchise, every IP that Blizzard owns is going to mobile sometime soon. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, people I don't think are going to cringe for long about mobile. I've been following things, and we'll talk about it a little bit later as well. Something's happening in mobile for core gamers as well. Mm-hmm. It's getting much closer to the kind of experiences we like. Diablo Immortal is actually a very cool Diablo, et cetera, et cetera. So right. Anyway, that's a big part of it for sure.
Yeah, I know that there's plenty of people, myself included, who are just immediately resistant to the idea that our core, quote unquote, core gaming values, like, you know, high NPCs and big clunky consoles and, you know, our world cannot possibly be besmirched by the dirty masses of the mobile market. But I also think that stuff's changing. And it's also changing for the kinds of content you can get to your phone via streaming, things like xCloud and, you know, games being more tailored to that device, controller support kind of across the board. There's like a lot of reasons to pay attention to it and not discount it. So we'll talk about that more. All right, so I mentioned a bunch of those. They also get a massive pile of old Activision IPs that are kind of dormant right now. And there's not been a lot of talk about that, except Phil Spencer mentioned in an interview how excited he is about that back catalog and bringing some of those back. He mentioned he's a huge Hexen fan. I think this is why I like the guy, because I think he actually is a gamer who's also a really smart business guy with a lot of acumen and clearly the trust of, you know, Microsoft corporate and everything else. But he seems like he really knows what he likes. And Hexen's one of my all-time favorite games of all time. I freaking love that game. So I'm not saying that this whole deal is perfect or that he won me over or that he's gaming Jesus. I'm just saying anybody who likes Hexen, anyone who likes Hexen is a friend of mine. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know that there is such a thing as gaming Jesus, but honestly, Spencer is the closest thing that there is to it. Yeah. He has a perfectly crafted good guy image, and he has redeemed Xbox, and he's the kind of guy that's always like, everyone should be nice and the games should be on every platform except when we buy Bethesda for $7 million and then we'll make them. But you know, he's like, he's genuinely managed to craft an image of someone who's a nice person. And he seems like a nice person.
He seems like he is. I mean, it's impossible. Obviously, none of us know him personally or anything, but I don't know. What else are we going to go by? We go by what we have, what he says, how he acts. And
of course,
it seems like he's got a good handle on here's where the business needs to go. But also, gamers are they're here for the ride. They need to be part of this. And you know, even strategies like, you know, not jumping straight to cloud, but instead saying, Game Pass is all about download it to the thing and play it. Oh, you don't have an Xbox? Fine, whatever. Play it on your PC. We don't care. Or anywhere that'll let us be. Oh, you want to buy all your games at premium prices on Steam? Fine. We'll put our games there too. Like, they just seem like they want players to play how they want to play, and they'll continue to support those methods as they evolve. And if eventually they all evolve to massive internet pipe, cloud-based everything, fine. But they're not jumping straight to there or cutting everybody off and saying, this is the future, so goodbye everybody and get with it. If you're not with us, you're against us. They just kind of want to, go.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well a few years ago when they were like, well, we have a console for people who don't want to connect to the internet. Mm. It's called the Xbox One.
Yeah.
No, which one is?
That was the Xbox 360.
360. Yeah. That was a 360, yeah.
Yeah, that was an
but
annoying
thing. Are we going to talk about the fact that, you know, Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard for $70 billion. Like,
it's a lot of money.
First 10
of
all, times wait, the Bethesda Sammy, deal.
Yeah.
Which let we thought was huge at the time.
Yeah, 10 Bethesdas. Lord.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase it, actually. Are we going to talk about the fact that Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard?
I know.
For $70 billion, we've had it in our mind for a few days now, so it kind of is starting to make sense. But I'm pretty sure that when we heard the news on Tuesday, when we woke up, it was like, is it April 1st? Like, it isn't. What is this? Like, it's insane. It's the kind of thing that I would have laughed people out of a newsroom for saying, even thinking something like this. It's insane. It's a crazy transaction.
Yeah.
There were a couple of posts that morning that came out minutes before the official Xbox post. And I'm looking at these like games journalists and tech journalists too on my Twitter feed going, you guys got taken. Who gave you this tip?
Yeah.
And then you see the official post on the Xbox site, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. I also thought it was impossible for something this big and this seismic to not have leaked in some way. And
yeah, nobody knew. Yeah,
nobody knew.
Everyone was shocked.
Yeah, that blew my mind. I still, to this day, I can't believe it wasn't at least like some, I don't know, Schreier, somebody somewhere had a contact.
Somebody's
that
assistant
it.
Had too many drinks at a bar that we don't go to anymore, and like somebody overheard her chatting. You know, like I just, I don't understand.
Or him.
Yeah.
Or him.
Or him. Sure.
It's insane. And you know, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, exclusivity and the fact that like Diablo is going to be a Microsoft game. It's crazy. But apparently, you would imagine these kinds of things go, you know, are in discussion for months and, you know, half a year even. Apparently it all started in November because things were going, as we have talked about many times, not so great for Activision and for Bobby Kotick, who, you know, someone told Spencer, hey, maybe you should call him and see if there's something you can do. And
well, yeah, that was right around the time that second article came out, right? Because we had the first article about the lawsuits in July, but then there was the second like investigative report about Kotick and how like not only did he know, but actively covered up a lot of the issues. So
yeah, that essentially, was right around then.
It essentially reported on the fact that what was happening at Blizzard was also happening at Activision Studios, and Kotick knew, and also, you know, he threatened his assistant.
Yeah, threatened,
like, he was like, I'm going to have you killed. Like, left a message.
Which is
it's not even
an absolutely like, terrifying thing to come out of the mouth of somebody who you know has the resources to probably make that happen.
Yeah, they could have done it. Yeah,
it's like, insane.
For the record, it was years earlier. I don't care though. Like everyone always wants to say, well, he was 40 when he made that threat. I'm like, okay,
and
so I don't think anybody at any age should make that threat. You know,
it's not like he was 17 or 13.
he was
40.
A grown ass man.
A grown ass billionaire.
Anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure he then maybe regretted it. It doesn't matter. It's not anyway in the context of everything.
Yeah.
It's not great. But so it put the company in a position that like they lost what 30%
40
market
from their
cap
peak.
40.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And so it was put in a position where maybe it was a deal that was doable. So that's when the conversation started. So it only, quote unquote, lasted for a couple of months, and they worked a lot over the holidays. So maybe that's why it didn't leak. Mm. And yeah, I think Microsoft is paying, what, 30% premium over the share price.
Yeah. So it's still a deal based on like their previous or Activision Blizzard's previous peak value. So, I mean, like the Microsoft's still walking away, even paying that. What seems like a premium price right now, they're still kind of getting a deal, which is crazy. Like, and it's crazy and also kind of frustrating to think like Kotick ran the company into the ground, which then made it eligible or like made Microsoft able to buy it. You know what I mean? Like you did so poorly at your job. Here's $70 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's not like the company wasn't doing well, you know, it was making a lot of money still, even with Vanguard having been like a weak Call of Duty. Mm. It was like third on the most sold games of the year. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sure the crazy thing is I'm sure he personally would have bounced back if he had held. Although it does put in context the you know, the things that the board said when that second wave of reports or that second report came out, and everyone was like, okay, so that means Kotick is out, right? That you can't keep it. And the board was like, he is doing a great job and we have a complete trust in. And of course, it sounded weird at the time. And we're like, oh, maybe, you know, he has friends in the board and it's his family and whatever. But of course, when you have like the contract with a $70 billion written on it that he's waving around at the board, of course they're going to be like, maybe we can wait it out a couple more months. Yeah. That wouldn't be so bad, would it?
Yeah, it's I mean, the fact you made a really good point about how recent this acquisition started negotiating, and why we didn't get leaks before that. I guess I'm still a little bit surprised that they that we just didn't know. I just feel so big. Like I'm still like I'm in this stage of like, wait a minute, is this really happening? Do they really do this? And what does it actually mean? Actually, let's get to this cross compatibility question. It came to a bit of a head yesterday when I read a tweet from Phil. So a tweet Phil put out there said, I had a good call this week with leaders at Sony. I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry and we value our relationship. And now people have tried to dissect that and go, well, he didn't say keep. He said keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. That doesn't mean all future Call of Duties end up on PlayStation. And I'm like, I don't know what he meant. Like, if we're going to get that weird about language, we could say all sorts of things about what he said.
Everything, he's ultra noncommittal. And he won't say until he does.
Well, they haven't even officially bought them yet.
Of course.
Yeah. He can't really commit to anything.
Yeah.
As mentioned, Kotick is still CEO at Activision. The smart money or the money is on him leaving the day the Activision, the purchase closes.
Yeah.
And he will leave. He won. He will leave with the $300 million that his golden parachute affords him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he will be out, which is the ultimate goal of most people who are frustrated with everything. But he, you know, he's the evil cackling genius who's going to ride off into the sunset with bags of money. And that sucks a little bit, but I don't know.
At the same time, though, I mean, you had to kind of expect that that was coming, right? Like, there was no way that he was going to leave without some sort of big chunk of cash. And as much as that does suck, I'm just glad he's out. Like, I'm glad that there's going to be some sort of new leadership at Activision Blizzard and that hopefully they can just move forward from there, because like this, obviously this whole dynasty, whatever the hell you want to call it, didn't work.
No, it didn't. I mean, it made him a lot of money. And of course, you know, Activision, a very pop, you know, there's a reason this thing is worth $70 billion. Now, if you're going to ascribe all of that to just pure acumen on the side of Kotick, I don't know if that's entirely true either.
But oh, yes, it is. Of course it is. He managed everything money-wise. He's a very smart businessman.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
He is the one that built this whole empire. There's no question
about it. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I guess that comes with baggage, and his baggage is really shitty, and so is his, the culture came with it. And so as a result, you know, as much as I want to, I love when somebody's smart and gets things done and it's great. I think that's great. That's something that you could totally say is often a positive thing about a person's personality. But when it is at the expense of moral judgment, the health and well-being of your employees, you know, just regular old respect, like freaking F off. Like it sucks. Like the thing that really pissed me off this week was his interview with, I don't remember who, he did an interview with somebody, PC Gamer, I think, and they talked to him about all this stuff, and he said the reason the stock value dropped and the reason they got interested in this buyout, and this is true, is because, and he blamed it on the delays of Diablo 4 and the delay of Overwatch 2.
Overwatch.
Now, he said that, and you'd hear that and go, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, of course, if you don't have your new games out, you're going
to... I mean, it's part of it.
It is part of it. But then somebody who was in the team... The Overwatch team saw that interview and then did a big public post about, hello, you're the one that delayed it all. You came in here and said, don't work on this, do this instead. And then when that wasn't working out, well, no, come back here and do this and make sure it's still on time, even though you pulled everybody off of it for 8 months or whatever. Like, you're the reason it got delayed. So it's just gaslighting 101, and that really pissed me off. And I realize that's the least of his sins, okay? I know that, but... For whatever reason, like in the midst of this acquisition, he's still being a piece of shit. So,
it was Tracy Kennedy, by the way, who's a producer on the Overwatch team, who said that. It feels like he's getting away with it. And that's certainly, you know, it doesn't feel good. But, you know, my dream for this is that and maybe he's not going to leave, but it feels like
Microsoft can't keep him. Well, even if he's not going to leave, he's going to be reporting to a new CEO, right? Because Phil Spencer's title has changed. He's now the CEO going to be the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, which he was the executive VP before of gaming for Microsoft. So they're
kind of moving stuff around.
Yeah, they're kind of moving stuff around. And that leadership team has, you know, 7 out of 12 women on it. So they seem to be...
Yeah,
it's almost shockingly different from what we're used to over on the Activision Blizzard side. But I think that regardless if he's still in charge or not, he's at least going to have to report to somebody now who can tell him he's an idiot.
Yeah, he's diminished. He's diminished in the interim. That's true. Yeah.
I think he's not going to stay. But if he did, I don't know that. But so my dream is that the day they announce he leaves or the day after, Spencer shows up and he's like, and we're going to have Blizzard under Mike Ibarra, King under whoever King is under. And to lead Activision, we're going to bring back Jen O'Neill, who was, who left Blizzard a couple of months after having been named co-lead of Blizzard with Ibarra, because she was like, I can't do anything in this company. Like, the execs are, the culture is not right there. Mm-hmm. So,
and she wasn't paid the same as him when she was promoted into that job.
It was really stupid.
It was so nuts. But it would be the most corporately acceptable way for Spencer and the world to give at least the finger to an ousted co-take. Like, you slam the door behind him and you put the woman that left the company because he was the a-hole in charge of his legacy.
I
don't know if that's even a possibility.
I wouldn't be sad to see it. I'll just say that if she wanted to, like, it wasn't just a token thing and whatever, if she really wanted to do it and he valued her leadership, I say that would be amazing. I would love that.
She's managed a studio before, which is more than we can say about Mike Ibarra, who was, I'm sure he's great, but he's a marketing guy. Jen O'Neill was managing Vicarious Vision, which is not a huge studio, but still. And you have to guess that they at least think about it at Microsoft Gaming, HQ. And there has to be someone that mentions it. Mm-hmm. So maybe it will happen. And then, the image of it, symbolically, it would be so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I think I it would be great.
That would be really cool. But
anyway.
this also happened in the meantime. And Microsoft is... Look, no big multinational company is going to be free of some form of harassment. Now, whether it's up in management or it's down in the dregs of, the mailroom, it doesn't matter. It's bad no matter where it is. But Microsoft opened a harassment investigation sought by investors. So this just happened 7 days ago, right before this announcement. Microsoft said Thursday it's opening an inquiry on how it responds to workplace sexual harassment and gender discrimination, including a handling of allegations about co-founder Bill Gates. The review is in response to pressure from Microsoft investors. Nearly 78% of shareholders at the company company's November 30th annual meeting voted to demand more accountability in addressing workplace sexual harassment complaints. Quote, we're committed not just to reviewing the report, but learning from the assessment so we can continue to improve the experience of our employees, says CEO Satya Nadella in a statement. I think that's great. And I think that coincides timing wise really well with this. Whatever they've got in their own house, get better. This mess over at Blizzard Activision, get way better. Like, if I'm most cautiously optimistic about any of this, it's that there could be some change here, because it's ripe and ready for something. It's all in everybody's mind. It's a big deal. This is the biggest deal in gaming history. And along with that deal, if you could, like, if the frosting on this cake was way better working conditions, things other companies can emulate, leadership in the business to show how this can be done, that's what I want the most out of this. I mean, I really want Diablo 4, and I can't wait for Overwatch 2, and I'm pretty stoked about all the games. Hexen, come on, baby, let's have a new Hexen. All of that's great. But that would be really, really, really wonderful if that could be part of this. And there's no reason it couldn't be. And I, again, cautious optimism seems to be the word everybody's using this week. And I don't know if there's a better way to put it, because I'm definitely optimistic, but I'm cautious because this industry is cutthroat and weird. And you know, we don't want to assume anything, but I do want to have optimism about this. And I do want this to be the deal they seem to be making it out to be. And that means, like, more creativity for the devs at Blizzard, for example, so they don't feel so tied down by what Bobby Kotick wants. Maybe that happens here, because the other studios Microsoft's acquired have said that very thing. They bought us, they flushed us with cash and said, do the things you do that are so awesome. And now we get to make what we want, and we don't have to stress about, the pennies. And that could be a huge deal for Blizzard, which is known historically as this company who's just like full of creativity and can do no wrong. Well, now maybe they can have that part back without the bullshit and also the, you know, the facade that they were pushing down our throats for so many years. I think this is, I mean, it's a real opportunity. Again, cautiously optimistic. That's how I feel.
I mean, no one knows what's going to happen and how culture is actually going to change. And it takes a long time for something like that to happen. What feels certain is that if the status quo had been, like, if Kodak had stayed in place and even if someone had replaced him as CEO or something, that needs a drastic change. The company seems like its culture is so problematic that you need... What I'm trying to say is, maybe this isn't going to work out, but it seems like a more likely force for change than if things had been... if it had stayed in isolation as Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
It seems like this will only go the right way. And, you know, very selfishly, as disturbed and distressed as I was from everything we've learned over the past 6 months, selfishly, I'm like, maybe I can look forward to Diablo 4 without feeling guilty about it again. Yeah. You know, we'll wait and see. I haven't mentioned it, but the deal isn't going to close until next year, June. June is the latest that it could close. So it's not done yet. But at that point, I'll be like, all right, maybe it's okay until we hear otherwise to be excited about all these things without feeling this twinge of guilt and horror every time you think about
them. And imagine at that point, the year that you close the deal and hopefully have shown a year's worth of information and a pattern of transition that is also addressing these issues and, you know, improving this stuff.
I mean, that's not going to happen for... Activision is still an independent company until the deal closes.
Like, yeah.
Microsoft has no influence on Activision until then.
Yeah, true.
Well,
true.
You know, officially.
Officially. But I think it's impossible for them to avoid some sense of that. And I guess what I'm saying is, if let's say 2023 is the year of Diablo 4. If they close the deal and show some kind of progress, whether it's meaningful or not, and then
announce
announce or launch that damn game that year.
Yeah.
And do it on Game Pass and still on the launcher over there, the Blizzard launcher, for those who want to play it there. It's now on Steam.
And increase the price of Game Pass, of course.
And increase the price of Game Pass, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. Like, I wish
they'll wait a year.
Wish Netflix would knock it off with their price increases, because it just makes everybody else go, ooh, maybe we can make ours
maybe
go higher.
Maybe we can do that.
Yeah. I
mean, hey, Scott. Microsoft is not investing billions of dollars to keep Game Pass Ultimate at $13 a month forever. Mm. I can guarantee you that the plan is to increase it steadily at some point.
What if the plan...
Okay, but
all of those IPs...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, at the same time, I'm currently paying like $20 Canadian, but $20 a month for WoW. And that's all I get. Yeah. And that's just access to the game.
Yeah.
That doesn't even give me any extras like an ESO sub does.
Yeah.
So like, even if they wanted to take Game Pass to $20 a month, but then they rolled all the Activision Blizzard products into that, I'd be like, thanks.
Yeah. It'd still be no problem with incremental updates. I agree with you, Patrick, but I would say this. I think that they have if they had their way, it would be, let's get everybody on Game Pass rather than raise the price for the ones that are on it. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, the volume of users will make up for the need to up the cap of the price of the thing.
I agree. But at the same time, I mean, I think it's going to happen. The question is it going to happen next year when this deal closes or the year after? You know, the price is going to increase. And a couple of years ago, you would have said, well, you know, Game Pass is nice, but what game do I really want to play on there?
Yeah.
Now, like, the list of IPs that Microsoft owns and is going to be day one on Game Pass is staggering.
Yeah.
It is unreal. And so it becomes the conversation around Game Pass changes. It's kind of, well, can you really afford if the number of people who have two or three IPs that they really love that are into Game Pass is really large. Mm-hmm. And when you want those games, you know, $15 or 20 Canadian poutines.
We also call them dollars, Patrick.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's not space points up there. Yeah.
At some point, maybe not next year when they announce it, although when they announce Diablo 4 or Overwatch 2 or whatever, maybe that's the time to do it. But at some point, you're like, well, I have all of these things and it's $20. I'm not going to unsubscribe from Game Pass. Like, that's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's going to unsubscribe when there's all this? And by the way, Call of Duty, which is the biggest game in the world with FIFA,
yeah,
it is also going to be on Game Pass. Whether or not it will be on PlayStation still remains to be seen going forward with the future titles, except for Warzone, which is going to stay there for sure. Yeah. But Call of Duty alone is, you know, anyway,
it's
I think the price is going to increase.
It's billions and billions of dollars in revenue. And so they're going to balance all of that. I hope they do right with players and not just jack it up and suddenly go, well, it's $49 a month. Sorry, everybody. I don't think they're going to do that. But I do think incremental price increases will happen because they always do. It's inflation. It's everything. It's just the way the world works. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. So I wanted to get since the roots of the show are firmly planted in World of Warcraft. That's where the instance came from. And it may not be our focus these days, but hard to avoid it. Does this acquisition, I just think we should have a fun conversation about this. Does this acquisition mean anything beyond just, well, WoW continues to be WoW and it does what it does? We can get into those 10.0 rumors if we want to, but is there a chance, Patrick, you said earlier they intend to bring everything to mobile. Do you think there's a chance WoW finally ends up on mobile?
Think that WoW? Happens? No.
Don't think so?
No, not okay. World of Warcraft. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, maybe via streaming, you know, xCloud, but even that, it's not very practical. No, I don't. I think what changes for WoW and for, well, actually, WoW is the game that for which things might change the least. Mm-hmm. Maybe expansions are going to be included in Game Pass, but I suspect you'll still have to pay your monthly subscription.
Yeah, I don't think
like
they changed
for
that.
ESO.
Yeah. Yeah, they would have. But, do you think they would have changed ESO by now had they had plans to change the way the MMO model worked? They probably would have. Why would they, though?
It's too much money.
Yeah, it's money.
It's difficult to justify, like, not getting $15 away from people's wallets just so you can. But, like, that's the limit, I think. That won't get into Game Pass.
I agree. John said last night, he says, I think what'll happen is there may be a future where on consoles or PC, Game Pass gives you all of the base game that Warcraft is in the same way that ESO gives you all that is the base game. And then when there are new expansions, you pay for those and you still sub if you want for whatever benefits. Yeah. Or in WoW's case, you sub because you have to. But I don't know why they would change that. There's no reason for them to change that.
Yeah, the sub because you have to, because I think the player numbers on the WoW side of things have been fairly steadily dropping. And there was a little bit of a resurgence with Shadowlands, but that fell off again. And so I think that, like, there's maybe a conversation or argument for making a big change to Warcraft now that it's going to be outside of Activision Blizzard's control. Maybe Microsoft looks at that and goes, hey, you've been out for, by the time they finish the acquisition, they'll be coming up on 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Maybe that's like, it's a 20-year-old game, a 20-year-old property. Maybe it's time to say, is anyone still paying $15 a month for this? Or do we change it to an ESO model where it's rolled into Game Pass? You get everything for free, but you have an optional sub that gives you some gold every month and, you know, whatever else, bonuses.
Sure. Yeah, the model that ESO uses is
not a new game anymore, guys.
No, it's not. No, it's still a very profitable game, but it is not. You're right. It is not new. It is as old as Microsoft's dead MMO attempt with Asheron's Call 2. And
but I think, you know, World of Warcraft is such a cultural staple and in the mind of gamers. We're always one Legion expansion away from, you know, the number of subscribers jumping back to 7 million. Mm. You know, I don't know that you want to mess with that formula, especially if you have to change the fundamentals so much that you have to make it work as a, you know, kind of free-to-play game. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But also, I don't know that this is Microsoft's focus at this point. They are all in on Game Pass. They have so many studios to take care of. Maybe the numbers would make me lie, but I don't know that World of Warcraft, with as much money as it makes, because it does make a lot of money still, I don't know that they're going to start, you know, looking to World of Warcraft and going like, oh, we have to change everything to make it work with our new, like, yeah, it's fine. It does its thing. And I don't know.
I mean, the way they might approach it is the way they've approached a lot of this stuff, which is, hey, do you have Game Pass? Sweet. You get Halo Infinite day one. Enjoy. Hey, you have Game Pass? You get that on your PC. Enjoy. Oh, guess what? Don't have either of those things and don't care and rather play everything on Steam and that's just where you are and where you're committed? Fine, we'll sell you Infinite on Steam. Play it the way you want to play it. That attitude, to me, is really evident these days for Microsoft in general, and I don't see why that would change. Now, that's their own studios with their big IPs and that sort of thing, and even though they'll have ownership here, they do have a tendency, like with Minecraft and other acquisitions, to just put the money there and let them build cool stuff. So if that's what they do, it'd still be on whatever Blizzard is after this to make that decision. And it may be more of a creative decision. Yeah. I don't know. But at some point, when your game is 20 years old, I do think they have to address the model. Because when all of Game Pass is the same price as your single game subscription, that seems crazy to me. So what they could do is, like I'm saying, say, well, if you have Game Pass, you have that's a WoW subscription. You still have to buy the expansions, but here's the game. Oh, you don't have Game Pass? You'd rather stay on the Blizzard launcher? That's fine, too. You just pay the subscription over there. They may just be fine to do that.
So you're saying the subscription would be included in Game Pass?
I'm saying that
as an option.
As an option. Like, the base game would be included and all expansions up to a point.
If WoW is your only game and all you want to do is pay the WoW subscription, you have that option. But if you are a variety gamer, get Game Pass and WoW's in there, too.
Yeah, it's just in there.
It's cheaper to get Game Pass than to pay the WoW subscription.
Right. Well, no, they're the same. Work. If you get Game Pass Ultimate, it's exactly the same price.
With the change in the Game Pass price, though, right? Like, maybe they say, now that we're rolling everything, even Warcraft, into this, it's $25 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Honestly, all of this, I think, is very confusing, and they need clarity for Game Pass. I could see maybe, you know, you don't need to pay for expansions anymore if you have Game Pass, but you still need to pay the subscription, I think. But who knows? I mean, a week ago, I would have called you crazy and, you know, dipped you in tar if you had said Microsoft is going to buy Activision.
I remember having these conversations with people. It wasn't you, and I wish I would have done that because I always love to get your takes on this stuff, but I remember having these conversations with people when they bought Bethesda, and I went, oh, what if Microsoft bought Blizzard? And I didn't even think of Activision in the broader scheme of that. I just thought, oh, what if they bought Blizzard and pulled them out and saved them or whatever? And people are like, like that's ever going to happen ever in the history of ever.
Well,
here we are.
Even a little bit more different, because buying Blizzard from Activision is impossible. If you buy everything, it's easier, because Kotick would never have, like, it's like coming to you, Scott, and telling you, hey, I want to buy your right arm. How much for it? Like, well, it's easier to buy Scott entirely than to buy Scott's right arm and to get him to agree.
You're totally right.
Give me his.
I could give up the left arm. I could give up, though. I don't mind that. Left arm, I don't.
That's what I'm guessing. You're right-handed. So
yeah, I am right-handed. So I got mouse, single hand typing. What else? A controller I could figure out. They got all kinds of like accessibility things now. I could live without my left arm. It'd be all right.
Okay, excellent.
Depends on what you want to pay.
$17 billion, Scott.
Yeah. If you give me, I'll tell you what, 35, you know what, Patrick, I'm going to make you a deal today. For my left arm, $1 billion. I'm ready.
$1 billion for your arm. Can I though, sell your arm as an NFT after that?
Yes, because that's the shit world we live in. So yes, the answer is yes, you can do that.
All right, cool. Excellent.
All right. Well, there's obviously...
make it an item in World of Warcraft, an NFT item.
There you go. Now, there's a ton of stuff in and around this that we could get into, but a lot of it depends on, you know, how it's going to go over time. We know the basics. We don't know the details. I am curious if either of you have any hot takes on the Dragon Isles as the potential location for the next WoW expansion, and whether or not that would revitalize your interest, either... whether you're playing, I'm not playing WoW right now for two reasons. One, it feels a little icky. given the recent stuff. But the main reason is it bores me to tears right now. I just don't think the game is in a good place, and I don't think I'm alone.
It's not in a good place at all right now.
Yeah,
it's as someone who is still playing and does still heroic raid twice a week, it's not in a good place.
Yeah, it's in a really weird place. So for me, my interest would definitely get piqued if a new expansion was awesome. And for whatever reason, even though this ink isn't dry, this idea of this transition makes me less worried or makes me less hesitant to play based on my anger issues towards Blizzard and their mess. So that's weird, right? That's a weird effect of this. And I don't know if anyone else shares this feeling, but I feel, again, cautiously optimistic about this change. And so my anger at them over just complete moral failure over the years and not knowing about it is tempered by this news. Like I'm feeling a little better because I think there's real possibility of change now more than there was as currently constituted. And employees seem to be echoing that. They're you know, again, cautious optimism. I mean, so
from everything we've heard, employees at Xbox or at Microsoft Gaming seem to be saying that the culture is indeed much more, you know, inclusive, less toxic, and they have their own problems for sure. Mm-hmm. Even in the gaming division, sure. Some studios have been, you know, called out for things. But yeah, it seems like people are happier at Xbox Studios than they have been at Activision Blizzard. And the inclusion of in Game Pass changes the way you think about game production and the way you ship them. And you don't necessarily have to, especially under, you know, Activision Blizzard, which is an independent, like a stock listed, of course, company that doesn't have anything else than the games they put out. Everything has to be a huge success. When you're on Game Pass, maybe your game can fill a niche on Game Pass to, you know, attract a certain type of gamer, and that's enough, because they have now 34 studios, who God knows how many game teams. So some of those are not going to be like full-on AAA games that have to sell a bajillion copies. So I think that's probably a good thing as well. Mm-hmm. But for me, yeah, we talked about it before. I haven't played WoW. I haven't set foot in Shadowlands.
Didn't play the expansion at all.
I don't think I have the game.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It's the first time ever I didn't even, you know, for a variety of reasons. I also have two children, so that plays into it. Mm. But yeah, so who knows? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jocelyn, from your perspective, you're still, like you said, doing heroic raids and stuff, not necessarily thrilled with how the game's going in general, but does the idea of hanging out with dragons in their ancient places seem cool to you? Like, I don't know. That's all we know about it, right? Is possible setting.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which has been hinted at and teased in some of the Rathian questing and everything else. So, I mean, it's definitely not a way out there theory. To be honest, I was pretty excited about going to Shadowlands, and I'm getting less and less excited by WoW lore, which makes me personally very sad, because that's really what I loved about the game, was being in that universe. But I think their storytelling over the last two expansions has really not been good. And so, I mean, I'm less interested in where they might be going and more interested in like the mechanics and the systems that are going to be in the new expansion, because I, again, feel like not only has lore dropped off in the last couple of expansions, but the mechanics of the game have just not been fun.
The lore, for me, the lore isn't the problem at all. It is the mechanics of the game. It's just
the mechanics. Yeah,
it's either stuff I've done for 2 years.
Too many borrow power.
It's either things that I've done for 20 years, or it's things they're telling me to do now that I just don't think are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to get back to whatever that is. Yeah.
Go ahead. I think it's worth mentioning, I don't think that has anything to do with Kotick or Activision Blizzard or the issues. Like, if, and again, I haven't played the game, but if the WoW team has not managed to deliver, obviously, if the company has been toxic and horrible forever, it's not great. But it was that before as well. So I'm wondering how much of that, you know, I don't know that that's going to change. I'm sure they can make a great expansion again. There were pretty terrible times before, and some great expansions came out of it. I mentioned Legion earlier, which was an absolute triumph, I thought. The best extension ever. And that was in their, what, 15th year? Something like that. But I don't know that the underperformance of, you know, BFA and Shadowlands can be attributed to external factors.
It's I don't think it is.
Sometimes you try your best and it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. In fact, I really, well, I mean, yes, you could, maybe some of this could be ascribed to the culture and some of it simmering for years or whatever, but I honestly think it's just the game's really long in the tooth.
Bad decisions.
Yeah, bad decisions. It's long in the tooth. It's hard to design for. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the problem seems to be, and this again is someone who is completely on the outside, that a lot of systems currently in World of Warcraft feel very designed to keep the player logging in every day, not because they're fun, but because they're things you have to do. And if you just make a fun game, spoiler alert, I'm going to log in every day.
Yeah.
So I think that they've it seems like with all the systems you have to grind now, you get very behind if you don't. And it just is not a fun experience anymore. And so I think that that's really, it's bad decisions. It's bad dev decisions and not listening to the community. Sorry, Patrick.
I have a couple of points here that come to my mind. First of all, what you're describing seems like something that could have been inspired by mobile games, and maybe that's the kind of thing that someone came into the WoW team from above and said, "You, that's what you need to do. Game as a service, keep people logging in for this and that reason." You know, and so maybe that was a mandate from above, maybe contradicting what I just said. But I'm wondering also what you're describing doesn't seem that far off from WoW has been before. So as someone who hasn't played it, the current version of the game, I'm wondering, how is it different from, you know, having to come do your dailies every day and the things you've always done in WoW?
Right. So right now you have, like, if you're looking at endgame PvE, you've basically got two ways to get your gear set, which is Mythic Plus or Heroic Rating. Then you also have to grind those two things in order to get gems to put into your gear. That doesn't come from mining anymore. They were very specific, very overpowered. And for this patch only, which is also a reoccurring theme, is that everything you did in the previous patch is wiped out in the new patch, which means everybody's starting off at zero again. Then you also have to grind reputation and questing with your covenant because you have soul binds, which increase your power level. Plus, you also have to go through their Torghast system in order to create your legendary. So where you might have used to have one set of dailies, because they also do still have a set of dailies in a new zone called Korthia, which you have to grind your dailies to get your rep up so you can put sockets into your gear. So there's many, 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 many different places where you have to go do just the same thing over and over again to inflate some artificial number until you hit a point when it says you can now have the thing that makes you powerful enough to raid.
What if you're playing more casually, though?
Well, it depends on where.
Well, yeah, Scott can probably speak to casually.
Yeah, because depending on where you're playing casually, let's say you're starting a new character. WoW's never been more fun as a game where you start with level one and go and just have an experience and have that.
Oh, right. It's great. End game casual.
But end game casual sucks.
There's nothing to do.
It's boring and you don't want to do any of it. And it's not a fun thing to log into. Whereas, I mean, I now understand, and I'm not in love with Final Fantasy the way everybody else seems to be right now, but I get why they all say that's a game that isn't about you going in and you have to be in to make sure you're up to date or to get to the final stuff or do end game or whatever. That game just is like, there's fun stuff in here. You want to come do it? That's it. So you can play end game casual, hardcore end game, whatever you want to do over there. In a way that is more fun. I have more fun with endgame activities in ESO than I do in World of Warcraft, casually or not. So I think that despite everybody thinking that WoW had gone too casual and become too much of a of an on rails, you know, sort of adventure park drive. I actually think that they've pushed away casuals. I feel like it's just not fun for them to log in and do anything. And that's a bummer, especially if you're at level. Now, if you're not at level, there's plenty to do. The game's got years of content to go through if you want. Like, there's a lot you can do to make your own fun. But as a current, ongoing, what am I paying $15 for? It doesn't feel like there's much for those players to do. And if you don't have the time to be hardcore, I guess, I mean, I don't know what the categories are, but it seems like you're either hardcore or you're casual. There's not a lot of in between. And Blizzard has made it not fun, I think, for casuals to do anything in that game, unless you're leveling for just your own kicks and you're solo and you're just screwing around. But I've been doing that for nearly 20 years in that game. So, yeah, I think that's just in a weird state. So, yes, I agree. The overall take here, I think, is that if they can show real evolution in the mechanics and just the approach to what it means to play the game in a modern way, next expansion, great. I will check back in. But if it's just another one of these with a subset of, you know, doing the same stuff we've been doing, squeezing some kind of weird juice out of magic trees that has to go into a thing I'm wearing, you know what I mean? Like, I just, all of those systems are really spent and I need to do something new in there. So we'll see what happens. All right. Before we get out of here, I want to spend some quick time talking about what games we're playing this week. This is a little bit weird. Given all the talk about Microsoft, but I've been playing almost exclusively PlayStation 5 games this week. still playing Ghost of Tsushima, the Master Edition or whatever it's called, Director's Cut, on PS5. That game's amazing, but it got me wondering about older games by Sucker Punch. And I remembered loving Infamous Second Son when it came out when the PS4 launched. And I was so into that game. And I thought, well, I still own that and it's digital, so why don't I download it and see how it plays? I expected for it to show its age visually, maybe run at 30 frames if I'm lucky. I was blown away by how good that game looks and plays in 2022. In fact, if you own it digitally, I would highly recommend putting it on your PlayStation 5. It looks great, supports HDR. I'm running at 60 frames plus. It looks like a new game, weirdly. Maybe that just means we're at this place with graphics where it's really hard to, you know, differentiate kind of the current gen and next gen and all that. But anyway, I ended up playing a ton of that, like 7 hours of this old 2013 game, and then back and forth to Tsushima. And I think Tsushima is amazing. I think that is one of my favorite games I've played in years. Really, really good. But I went down a Sucker Punch hole, and I just can't wait for what they do next. I love those guys. And spent all week.
Have you played First Light, which is the independent expansion to Second Son?
No. That's the one you could buy on its own. I didn't ever get that. Yeah. How is that?
They gave it on, I was going to say Game Pass. They gave it on PlayStation Plus at some point. So you might have it.
I might have it. Yeah. I'll check.
You might have it. If you do, and you enjoy Second Son, give it a try. It's really good.
It's
like 7 hours, 10 hours maybe, experience. And it's really great.
I'll have to check it out.
First Light.
Yeah. It looks like I can still, if it runs as well as this other one, it's like $9 right now. I should just get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I might do it. Cause I don't know what happened, but hey, controversial statement. I think I might like Infamous better than those Spider-Man games. All right, come at me. I know. Listen, I don't mean like character-wise or like story. I don't mean any of that.
Oh, no. You can't put any asterisks and caveats on this, guy. You said what you said.
All I mean is mechanics. Speaking of mechanics, mechanically, I find those games really, really fun. Like minute-to-minute combat and just the powers they give you, I just think it's just more fun. Whereas the Spider-Man stuff has to kind of stick to the Spider-Man thing and do what Spider-Man does. And that's fine. Stick. Those amazing games. Spider-Man. Don't get me wrong. Those are amazing games. But those Infamous powers are rad, man. That's swinging.
The
swinging's pretty good. But I'll tell you what, hovering with fire and electricity power is pretty cool too. That's not bad. Also shooting dudes in the face. That's pretty good. All right. So that's what I've been up to. Hey, Jocelyn, what are you playing? Tell us about Nobody Saves the World. We did a little bit in pre-show, but why should I play this game?
This game is super fun and something that normally I wouldn't love, but I'm kind of getting more into dungeon crawlery, things exploding everywhere type games. And it's just, I don't know, it has a graphic style that almost reminds me of Don't Starve. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting and fun. It's got this like stupid sense of humor.
Yeah.
But like in a way that actually makes me go, oh, okay. So yeah. It's not like trying too hard, but you get to go into these like little dungeon dives, and you have just so many, like, we were just talking about WoW having too many systems. This has a lot of systems, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
So you have like your character levels up, and you have all of these different forms you can change into. They all give you different powers, and you can level up the different powers for each form. And you use those forms to then go and like solve puzzles and get to new areas and stuff. And the combat itself is super satisfying. And there's a whole bunch of different like choices you can make, because your form basically gives you a different like combat kit. So if you like to be a big beefy tank guy like I do, you can just like go in there and have everything come to you at once. And then you just go rah! With your swords, and then everything dies, and it's great.
Wow. Okay.
Or you can be like a ranger character, be like way back and like shooting your arrows and moving all around the room all strategically and stuff. So you can kind of adapt your playstyle to the dungeon that you're in, and I'm really, really, really enjoying it. I like the complexity and like I said, the sense of humor, and it does feel very Zelda-esque as well, with the whole lock and key kind of thing. Like, sure. You unlock a new form, and then you can like go through these little rat holes, or you can like walk by guards. Like, the guards are like, we're waiting for a ranger with a message, and you know, so when you unlock the ranger form, then you can go through that gate. So yeah, it's very Zelda in that way.
Well, I'm into everything you said, so I'm gonna finally play it.
And, dude, it's really fun, and it's on Game Pass.
Yeah, Game Pass, everybody. You may have heard of it today a million times. Patrick, you're playing Wild Rift, and just before we get into this, can I just say, Patrick Beja, the guy in my gaming circles who never gave a toot about MOBAs, including Heroes of the Storm, arguably the best MOBA on the market still, even though they give it short shrift over there. I hope Microsoft revitalizes that team. But anyway, you just weren't into it, especially something like, I don't know, League of Legends, or, you know, an older MOBA, Dota 2 or whatever. Yet here we are. Patrick is not only playing Wild Rift, the mobile version of the League of Legends, which is very good. I actually quite like it as well. But not only are you playing it, you're playing it competitively. Like, you're in, like, you're like good.
Well,
so tell what happened? What happened to you? What happened?
Do you know what happened? Arcane happened. That was the best marketing investment Riot ever made. I could not have cared less about League of Legends. Like, I think I launched it once and noped out after 30 seconds. Like, there was the item shop, and I was like, wait, what? What are all of these things? And but Arcane got me so interested into that universe. It's such a good series, which I'm sure everyone's heard this a million times. But if you haven't watched Arcane, including if you're someone that doesn't care about League of Legends, go and watch it now.
It's just a good standalone show.
Good.
You don't need to know League of Legends at all.
It did the same thing to me, though. I ended up playing more Wild Rift. I ended up re-downloading Runeterra and playing a ton of that. I really like that game.
Yeah. I bought Rune King.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. I got it as well. And it's great. It's I lied. A friend at Riot got me a copy. But still, I'm super into it. It's really good.
Oh, my friends are at Riot didn't get me anything.
Well,
because I'm an independent podcaster.
That's right.
I
always independent. No,
I did not get a $2 billion out of that $70 billion thing, unlike you, Scott. So no, it's just an incredibly good entry point into the MOBA genre and the League of Legends universe. It retains a majority, I think, of the complexity of something like League of Legends, but it is as approachable, I would say, as Heroes of the Storm was, or is. You know, I played Heroes for quite a bit, for a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, when Overwatch beta was, you know, was not active. So I did have a little bit of familiarity with the MOBA genre, and it was just as easy to get into Wild Rift as it was. The tutorial is really good, but then you get into the complexities of the game, and I always thought, you know, one map is boring. Mm-hmm. Like, of course I want multiple maps, and HOTS is the way to do it, and it's fun, and it's, and certainly there's some truth to that, and the variety is fun, but the depth of having only one map forces you to get into a very detailed, if you want to progress, you have a lot of depth in that game, including in Wild Rift. You know, the depth from LoL. And I'm not going to go into that because it can get scary. what I want people to get out of it is it is very approachable. It's always in your pocket. Games are very short.
Well, that's the best part, by the way.
I was going to say, how long do I have to sit there holding my phone?
It's a lot. It's so much better than regular League, because League, this thing's, like Patrick says, 15 minutes. League will take you 45 to an hour plus.
Yeah, that's, I'm like, I don't want to sit there and play an hour-long match. Especially like when you're in competitive stuff with a team, right? Like, Hearthstone, I can just quit out of, but...
Yeah, it's great.
I couldn't do that. You know, again, multiple children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, how do you commit to this? Even on your phone, how do you commit to this?
That's hard, man. Understand. I don't know how you do it.
I think it's the sweet spot. It's about 15 minutes, sometimes a little bit more per game. And I also played a little bit of Pokemon Unite, which is really cool and really fun. But that feels like it's a little bit too much over. First of all, it feels very mobile game-y. Like the UI is all over the place and you don't understand anything about it. And there are bonuses and missions. Like the UI in Wild Rift is much cleaner. You understand what's happening. It doesn't feel like it's forcing stuff down your throat.
Yeah.
And the complexity the of it is, there's more to bite into. And the characters are really cool. Like the characters are things that you can get attached to. I thought, you know, I loved Arcane. I'm going to play the characters I know from that show. But there are a lot of other ones that are really cool and fun and archetypes and...
Do you see that up on the thing? Sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
I see what you put up there. Yeah. Games can't be longer than a poop. I mean, it depends how long it takes you to poop. It can drag on a little bit longer, maybe. Yeah. But it's just I understand League of Legends now through Wild Rift, and you know I've actually installed League of Legends on my PC like that. This is almost as shocking as Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard, the kind of thing you thought would never happen.
It's a real seismic piece of secondary news today. Patrick likes a MOBA. Exactly. Yeah. Well,
I would encourage everyone to give it a try, even if you're not into MOBAs. Wild Rift is just an amazing game. And that ties back into what I was saying about mobile games. Like, It's really cool because I think it gives me what I want from a game as a core gamer, just like Diablo Immortal did during the beta last year when I played it. It's like it's games that are made for core gamers on mobile, and Wild Rift is like super fun.
Yeah, it's real good. And if you haven't tried it, may as well. It's free. Doesn't matter. Also, I just think their UI teams deserve some sort of award. You mentioned how great the UI is on mobile. All their games have amazing UI these days. I don't know what's going on over there, but they've got a renaissance of UI and how to do it. It's a masterclass. It's really, really good. I can't believe I'm saying these things about Riot. But anyway, whatever. That's the world we live in now.
You know, even the animation of the heroes, I know that a lot of people from the Overwatch team, the animation department, went over to Riot, and I suspect they're working partly on Wild Rift, you know, character animation. It looks really cool.
Yeah, and it has me super jazzed for their MMO. Like, we've talked about all this stuff before, but I'm very excited about what they do.
I would never have, like...
I know.
No disrespect to Greg Street. I never thought I would have been interested in the Riot MMO. But the world that they're building is so cool and fun. It's nothing like completely groundbreaking, but I went, like, this is confession time. I went and watched like 150 videos from the Riot China, like the cinematics, the intros, the music is so cool. Like, they do such cool pop, catchy music. And so the playing in that world, an MMO, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for their fighting game, which looks really cool.
It looks cool.
Like, I'm a Riot stan now. I don't know what happened.
You're drinking the Riot Kool-Aid, Patrick.
Big time. Big time. We all are a little bit. All of it. I think we're all a little surprised. An Arcane was a brilliant move, but it also had to be great, and it is. It had that thing been poop and just shovelware, and then no one would care. But it's good.
It's stellar. It's better than great. It's the best animated TV show possibly of all time.
Oh, my
it's
Lord. Incredible. Look at you.
Like, Arcane is, like, it might speak to my tastes, but I think no one will dispute that it's the best animated TV show of last year.
Yeah.
Like, that is.
Okay, there's a big difference between last year and all of time.
Hey, all of time for me. All of time for me. But I think everyone would agree, or most people would agree, it's the best of last year.
Yeah.
And I think some people agree it's the best of all time.
I agree.
Like,
I agree with that. I think it had such a powerful impact on not just gamers. That's a big test for this sort of stuff, right? How will it land on somebody who has zero knowledge or interest in the games? And what's happened instead is it was so good, those people now have some interest in the games. And I think that's a benefit to what they were doing. They may have known it the whole time. I don't know. But they made something really special, and it now makes me care about Riot shit, and I used to not care at all. So explain that, world. All right, let's rip through a very fast email here. We're going a little long today, but that's okay. We'll do this real fast.
Hello there.
This is an email sent to theinstance@gmail.com. Came from Charles in Arkansas. I think AK, or is that a lot? No, Arkansas, right? Yeah. Hey, crew. Wait, what is AK? AK is not Arkansas. That's AR. What is
Alaska?
Alaska? Or is that AL? No, that's Alabama. I don't know. Whatever
I'm
it is.
I'm guessing states with A names.
maybe AK is Alaska. It is Alaska? Okay. Hey, crew, with all the metaverse talk, most of which is nonsense. I agree. Was wondering if you guys had a take on what it actually... Hold on. If you guys had a take on what it actually means to, in some concrete ways, at least what it means to core gamers like us. Thanks and keep it up. Charles from Alaska, I suppose. Patrick, you made a noise. What do you think metaverse is nonsense yet? Or no, I mean, I think the potential and what it is, but people use it like the dumbest term. It's so dumb when it gets used today. They don't.
I think everyone should go back and listen to the previous episode of The Instance where Scott made a really good description of what it could be. I think that is. That was, you know, usually I think what you say is kind of dumb, Scott, but there you really surprised me. I think it was spot on. The one thing that was amusing, though, is that you were saying, oh, you know, it has to be open and you know, shareable like the internet. And, oh, I hate Mark Zuckerberg. And that is exactly what he was saying in his big meta presentation. He was saying we need to make it standards and open like the web is today and the internet is today so that we can do the things that Scott Johnson wants the metaverse.
Yeah,
he's in line with what he was saying.
He doesn't say it, but what he should say is so long as it's our headset and our freaking interface and our entry point.
I don't think
I
so.
I think. Say, yeah. of all the people I trust to tell me the truth. Yeah.
I think it's the same way that Google wants everyone to be on the internet because they make money when people are on the internet.
Yeah.
And he wants the metaverse to work out because he thinks he will make money with the metaverse.
Yeah,
anyway,
he will.
He wants it to be standards and open in order for it to be big enough that he can make a lot of money once Facebook is not the big thing anymore.
Yeah.
but as for core gamers... Honestly, the metaverse, I don't think it's got a lot to do with... It's like, it's kind of closer to the web than it is to anything game-related. Yeah. I don't think the metaverse... Because a lot of people are like, oh, the metaverse, Second Life did it 10 years ago. And you're like, no, that's not... Like, that's not what the metaverse is supposed to be if it develops into what, you know, the vision that Android... Mark Zuckerberg and Scott Johnson have described recently. It's very different from that. It's essentially teleportation. That's what the metaverse is. It's the closest thing we will ever get to being able to teleport somewhere. Mm. That's the easiest thing to think about it. Like literally, well, not literally, but simulating teleportation. And so photorealistic of everything that you will think... You are in the place you're quote unquote going to, or that the person is coming close to you is actually there. Yeah. And that's, you know, the idea. But for games, I don't know. VR might, I mean, it might turn into something, and certainly some games will exist with that technology, but it's really difficult to say what it will be.
Yeah, who knows?
VR is going to be more a closer thing that will be, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah, the idea is that it'll all, you know, hopefully it's all mixed. I mean, I can tell you this. I spent yesterday as part of, I can't talk about it yet, but I'm working with a news organization who is working with some VR stuff, and I got to sit in a completely virtual space meeting yesterday where I sat in the room with some reporters and some content people and some tech people. And it was, I know this isn't even that fancy. It's just people sitting around with each other, which we've been doing in VR for a while, but it was surreal how much more tangible that meeting felt than I'm used to. Like, it was a trip. And I'm not saying that's the metaverse. I'm not saying this even applies to this email, but I once in a while, when tech proceeds along to a certain point and then I experience it, it's kind of mind blowing. And that was mind blowing. That was really, really cool. And it made me think of all the future potential of this thing and how I want to hang out with my friends in this way when they're across the world. I'd love to see Patrick more often in this environment. And we were jumping around from a game to a boardroom to a hangout space to this, to the, you know, to a place where you build games or build worlds, and we're all up there making shit in a little 4-person thing. And it was blowing my mind. And it just got my brain going like, well, this isn't that weird to think that eventually there'll be a little portal I can click and then I'll zip through and then watch Jocelyn raid in Warcraft because it's integrated, because it's part of this quote unquote Web 3.0/metaverse/everything's connected kind of space. And it just gets your imagination going. So anyway, it's pretty rad where we're headed. Whether or not that buzzword gets overused, and I think it does, isn't really the point. It'll eventually suss out to be whatever. Think of it as when people said the information superhighway in the 90s. Oh, the internet. What's that? The information superhighway. Freaking F off both fingers. You know? That's how we're going to talk about metaverse one day. We're going to go, oh, remember when we called it that? Freaking sucks. I hate that word. But anyway, yeah. Thanks for the email, Charles. Oh, Joss, anything you want to add? Sorry, I meant to throw it to you as well.
I mean, just to kind of tie it into gamers, I mean, even with our conversation earlier on today, that was one of the things that people are pointing to with the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard is they seem to, from a perspective of a computer company, a PC company, they are collecting virtual worlds and adding to what they control within what they think is going to be the future of the internet and how we connect. So I think that if we're talking from a gamer perspective, that's the kind of thing to watch is who's controlling what universes and is it actually going to be as open as we hope? Because maybe not.
Yeah. I have concerns about all that.
There seems to be bets going in both directions.
Yeah. There's a gold rush happening here that maybe isn't the same as the 2.0 era of the web where everybody seemed to want interoperability from the get-go. That was the whole point. This one's a little more like, we want our piece of the pie. And, you know, this is the year we expect.
How am I going to make money off this? Same with Mark saying, oh, it should be all open and should be all everything. Like, he wants to make dollars. They all want to make dollars.
Of course they do. Of course.
Yeah. I really think people are letting their image of Facebook, which is justifiably very negative, color their interpretation of what Zuckerberg said about the metaverse. He needs it to be open like the web in order to make money. I think that is a very sincere and capitalistic view of the metaverse. It needs to be standards and open and interoperable.
Yeah.
And if it's not, if it's little things here and there that everyone is owning in a closed garden, it's not going to work. It's not going to take off.
Yeah. If this really is the year Apple announces whatever their mixed reality project is, which is currently the rumor that this is the year we'll hear about it.
Next year. Recently said it's got issues with overheating and stuff like that. So they delayed it.
I can't remember.
Sorry, Scott.
No, it's all right. I'm not even, whatever. The more the big faces get involved in this, the more we're going to start to have to take it seriously, but it's no longer like, ooh, hobbyist, cool thing. Oculus came out of nothing. And isn't this weird? And what a new experience. And I think we're heading into maybe it's the flip phone stage. You know, we were in the crappy brick phone stage. Now we're moving into flip phones and eventually it'll be like smartphones. But I don't know. I find this stuff endlessly fascinating. Yeah, we're in the in-between. Well done, Charles. Thanks for your email. TheInstance@gmail.com is how to contact us. If you'd like to support the show, patreon.com/instance. Make sure you do that. Hey, since we haven't heard from Patrick in a while, and even though most of it's in French, hey, Patrick, where can people find more Patrick?
Yeah, I all of my English shows are kind of on hiatus. So I'd say if you speak French, go check out Le Rendez-vous Jeu, for example, where we did a deep dive into the acquisition of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft. We went into a lot more than we even did today, like the consequences on Sony and the industry and how Game Pass changes things and how it changes Game Pass and how much money other companies paid for stuff. Well, I mean, it's in French, so if you don't speak French, you don't care about any of it.
Yeah.
But it's Le Rendez-vous Jeu if you speak French.
Yeah, and if you do, you'll know what that meant, that he just said that word,
yeah,
that French thing.
Yeah, and yeah. Not Patrick on Twitter. That's the easiest
one. Yeah, and he's a great...
I do tweet in English.
He's a great Twitter follow, but just go poke him, get him riled up, talk about starting...
Not too hard.
Don't poke him too hard. He's got two kids, after all. Jocelyn, I know you're plenty busy with lots of stuff, and as you and I wait patiently for Forbidden West to come out next month, what else are you up to these days? What are you up to?
So actually, I wanted to point people over to The Gamers Inn if you guys are looking for a general gaming podcast, because we just celebrated this week with episode 500.
Oh, my.
So I've been doing that for 10 years now.
Gosh dang.
And I think it was a really good show.
You know what? I agree. And congratulations. That's a huge milestone. I didn't realize it was 500 you hit. That's awesome. Nicely
done. Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. It's one of those things where you stop kind of paying attention and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this feels like one that maybe we should think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's great. Congratulations. I've always really enjoyed it. I think your co-host is a hoot. I think being on there before is some of my favorite guest spots. That's an awesome thing to hear. So go ahead, guys, check that out if you can.
Yeah, check that out.
That's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for being here. I'm sure Garrett will have a take he'll want to share next week on this stuff too. Okay. I know that by then.
We also talked about it on Angry Chicken too. So.
Oh, good. So some of that's out of his system. You know, we'll we'll see what happens. Like Patrick reminded us, we have quite a while until the ink is dry on this deal, or I don't know. There's still going to be some questions about European governments and others being okay with this deal. Microsoft, no stranger to antitrust allegations and all that stuff. Some of that may come to fruition. Who knows? But for now, I don't know. I guess Blizzard has a brand new bag or something to that effect. All right, that's it. Thank you all for watching. Theinstance.net is our website. That email, once again, is theinstance@gmail.com. Instance Show on Twitter. And if you would like to help us out, we're at patreon.com/instance. Find more shows like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I still use the old Patrick laugh. Ha 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 ha. What do you think of that, Patrick?
I think you are both lovely people, and I love and miss you.